Building a Culture of Health in Newark Conference. It's the fourth annual. Believe in a Healthy Newark hosting the fourth annual event. It's become quite an event, but this year it has to be virtual, as many events are in our area because of COVID. But COVID is also one of the key elements of this conference. And joining us is Dr. Denise Rogers, the chair of the Believe in a Healthy Newark Steering Committee. She's also the vice chancellor for interprofessional programs at Rutgers. And Catherine Wilson, president and CEO of United Way of Greater Newark. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So let's talk about, you've already had two of these sessions, and the third session is coming up on Monday, the 26th. So let's talk about, first of all, how the first two sessions have gone. You had no idea last year that this is what you would be talking about. So I'm sure you had to scramble a bit to make the program as effective as it needed to be. So let's talk about what you learned from the first two sessions.
So Doug, let me start by saying that you are totally correct that we never anticipated a year ago that in planning our fourth conference, we would be both confronted with a pandemic. And then as a result of the pandemic, we'd need to do our work virtually. The other thing that became clear to us is that we needed, as an organization, Believe in a Healthy Newark, to shift our focus to COVID away from some of the other issues that we'd been spending a lot of time with in order to help the residents of Newark and the greater community be better prepared to confront this pandemic. So we took an overall health approach. And this is what I mean by that. The World Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, social, and emotional well-being, and not merely the absence of disease. And so we decided for our first two sessions to focus on our session for October 12th on the emotional and social aspects of COVID, and on our session on October 19th to focus on the physical aspects of COVID. So we know that this pandemic obviously has an impact on people's physical health, particularly if they get sick with it. But we also know that all of us are being adversely impacted by the psychological aspects of COVID because we're distanced from people that are friends and family. We can't see people. We can't hug each other. We are worried about getting sick ourselves. But for many, the psychological impact of losing our jobs and economic insecurity and that sort of thing. I'm going to let Catherine talk about our third session, which really focuses on these very concrete aspects of the pandemic when it comes to those resource needs. But we really felt in our first two sessions to really take this more global health approach to our work.
Catherine?
Yeah, so the economic impact of COVID has had obviously devastating consequences for our families and our residents here in Newark. You know, Newark is a city that on a good day had an unemployment rate of roughly 10%. It's been as high as 16% at the height of this pandemic. Overall, nonprofit giving is down roughly 30 to 50%. And the impact of that, not just unemployment, but in the community, has been felt obviously in the home, in the small business community, and it just reverberates right throughout our lives. And so what does that mean? It means our residents are more food insecure. We've seen a lot of efforts among our nonprofit partners, among the city, to try to support and get food out to our residents who may be experiencing food insecurity for the first time, or those residents who may have already been food insecure and now are scrambling to find even more resources. As Dr. Rogers mentioned, people are afraid of getting COVID, they're getting COVID, people who are uninsured, people who may have lost their job and no longer have health insurance. This too will impact their overall household budget as they're fighting this virus in order to get well. So there's a lot of different aspects of, you know, how economics plays into this and how it affects people in their real lives. Some of our residents may not have lost their job. They're able to work from home. A lot of our residents are out going to work every day. Now they don't have childcare. Their children aren't in school. Again, another economic impact on a household budget. Some folks are lucky that they didn't really have an economic impact, but a family member or a friend may have been impacted, and now they're trying to help out that family member. People are losing their housing, et cetera, et cetera. So the amount of stress, as Dr. Rogers mentioned, just from the economic side on mental health, we're also beginning to see that as well.
Now, you have a terrific lineup of speakers coming up for this Monday. Can you briefly run down those speakers and tell people how they can get involved?
Absolutely. So Monday, we have Dr. Frederick Wary from Princeton, and he's going to talk about the racial wealth gap and how the pandemic has affected our Black and brown communities more so than any other. We have Wally Cokesum, who's the founder of Mocafi. He's going to talk about how our residents have been impacted financially, how they are not always a part of the mainstream banking system, and how this too impacts the household budget. And then we have Deputy Mayor Allison Ladd from the City of Newark, and she's going to talk about some of the things that the city has done in order to place some stopgaps on some of the economic impact, like the Small Business Fund and the rental assistance and the nonprofit assistance. And people can get involved by signing up and joining us on Monday for the conference. We have some breakout sessions as well in the afternoon around understanding the impact of the economic impact of food security, child care, and social services, as well as on workforce development. So the way folks can get involved is sign up and join us.
And where can they sign up?
So we will have links in our Twitter account. That's probably the easiest thing to do, is to have people go to Twitter. And we have information about the conference there. If they just search Healthy Newark, which is our sort of Twitter handle, they'll be able to find us and then sign up for the conference.
Dr. Rogers, we've had Mayor Baraka on our Newark Today call-in show along with Dr. Wade for several months now in a row. And they're very proud of how the city has handled COVID-19. Despite that, we see how much it impacts everybody. Their main goal obviously is to keep everyone alive. That's the ultimate goal there. But it just filters down, as you say. There are so many levels on how this impacts you. When you take a look at Newark in general, what's your overall feeling about how the city and how the health departments have handled COVID?
So my view is, to date, Newark has actually done a phenomenal job. I think that if you look at the spread of infection in Newark up to this point, by and large, it's been less than many other parts of the state, particularly for the second wave. Now, that said, Essex County obviously has one of the highest rates of death, and some of those rates of death are in Newark. And so I'm certainly not going to lead the impression that Newark has been untouched. Of course it has. But I think that the city has worked very hard to do a lot of education of the public about the need to wear masks, to physically distance. Mayor Baraka has put into place this sort of stay-at-home Mondays to really reinforce the message that people need to do less congregating and the like. The real challenge for Newark is the challenge that we're facing in the state as a whole and also in the country as a whole, and that is cases are going up. Cases are going up in part because people are tired. People have what we call COVID fatigue. And I think all of us together need to actively work to combat that fatigue, because if we don't continue to wear our masks and to wear them properly, including over the nose and mouth, if we don't continue to physically distance, if we don't continue to wash our hands, we will see even greater numbers than we're seeing now. And our nightmare scenario is to go back to the kinds of numbers that we saw in the spring with just an overwhelming number of people utilizing our healthcare system, almost taking it to the breaking point. And so I commend Dr. Mark Wade and Mayor Baraka for all that they're doing And I want, you know, all of us to become part of their team in sort of bolstering everyone to remember this is not over yet, and that we have to hunker down and really go in for the long haul so that we can eventually get back to a more reasonable, normal life.
We're speaking with Dr. Denise Rogers, the chair of the Believe in a Healthy Newark Steering Committee. She's also the Vice Chancellor for Interprofessional Programs at Rutgers, and Catherine Wilson, the President and CEO of United Way of Greater Newark. Catherine, John Mooney of NJ Spotlight is an education guru when it comes to Newark and other programs in the state of New Jersey, and he obviously helps out with this conference. We know, I mean, I just talked to my daughter who used to teach in Newark, she teaches in Neptune now, how difficult it is, especially her teaching a special education class right now and having to have some students at home, some students in class now for the first time this week. All the stress on the parents of having to deal with this. What are your thoughts on, what some advice can you give both parents and people who are worried about their jobs during this pandemic?
Well, I think, Doug, you know, I've done a couple of these interviews now. As you know, Newark has again delayed the reopening of public schools until January. Again, a good public health decision at this point. I think, you know, the first and foremost thing is everybody take a deep breath, right? I think, as Dr. Rogers mentioned, we're all getting COVID fatigue, right? We're living at home with our spouses and our children. Under enormous amounts of stress. And so I think what's really important is we take it day by day, right? And I think that for parents, something that's really important is to remember that your child is in a stage of development, right? And this will impact them. And so remember to take a deep breath if you feel like you're going to lose your patience. Reach out to the district. What additional resources can you get at home if needed, especially if you have a child with an IEP or a 504 plan. Reach out to friends, neighbors, you know, family members. Think about putting together a small cohort or a learning pod in order to share some of the responsibility and give yourself a break as much as you can. It's extremely difficult right now for our parents. In terms of their jobs, reach out to your employer, reach out to HR. Reach out to your employer's employee assistance program if they have one. Not all employers do. I think the most important thing and the most important message right now is understanding the emotional and educational impact on your child and trying to mitigate that as much as we can, as well as making sure that your own mental health and your ability to, you know, parent continues. And so I just think it's really important to reach out. And if you don't know who to reach out to, you know, there's all kinds of resources either online. You can call New Jersey 211. That's the state's helpline. Talk to people if you're struggling. You're not alone. We have to be in this together.
It's very difficult during this time. By the way, the title of the fourth annual Believe in a Healthy Newark event is Promoting Health, Healing, and Sustainability. It's very tough when you have a situation where you have both sides of it. People can connect more than ever because of online and Zoom interviews and Google Meets and things like that. But also those who don't have access to, you know, the proper equipment, they can be left out. So Dr. Rogers, tell us, obviously this conference is a great way to reach and talk to each other and just get some support for each other. Those who don't have the ability to do that, I know it's difficult to reach out to them right now. So just talk about the, you know, how the dynamics are with that.
Yeah, Doug, you actually have brought up one of the biggest challenges that we're discussing as part of the Believe in a Healthy Newark Steering Committee, because we know that there are a subset of people who don't have access to computers, who don't have access to, even if they have access to computers, they may not have access to adequate bandwidth. And so we are beginning to think about, are there ways that we can craft messages that are equally suited to smartphones? Because sort of if you look at the data, a good 70 to 80% of people have access to a smartphone. And how do we customize some of what we're doing in that way? The other thing we do with our conference is we really tailor the conference for leaders of community-based organizations and healthcare organizations. So we provide them with resources that they can then provide to the people that they work with. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly right. But you're so right that with all of our increasing reliance on technology, we forget that there's a subset of people who are being left out in this. And how do we make sure that that we connect with them?
We've been trying to reach out through our community engagement reporter, Britt Harley, and she's finding out just what you have already talked about, that food insecurity and just getting basic information is very difficult for some residents right now. They're not necessarily always tuning, unfortunately, they're not tuning into WBGO all the time, right? Because they can't get everything they need there either, right? Because they're getting great music, but they're craving information and trying to find it in different things. Catherine, what have you learned from these two events that you've already had on Monday that maybe you had not anticipated?
You know, it's funny you should ask that question. I was talking to Dr. Rogers just the other day about, I was able to moderate a session on how food, right, nutrition, how does that help us combat COVID? And what struck me is the amount of misinformation there is about food and nutrition in terms of either preventing COVID or curing COVID. And that struck me. It struck me because I lead the food and fitness impact team for Believe in a Healthy Newark. And it means that we have a lot of work to do around nutrition and ensuring that folks have access to the right information. You know, elderberry syrup is not going to prevent you from getting COVID-19. Drinking extra orange juice or extra vitamin C, while it will boost your immune system, it's not going to prevent you from getting COVID-19. You can't eat certain foods in order to cure yourself of COVID-19. And there was a lot of miscommunication in the community around that and a lot of work to be done around sending out some of those trusted messages.
Do you feel, Dr. Rogers, that when I start hearing about that the president and the first lady have COVID, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie had COVID, and then we hear that New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy was exposed to the coronavirus but has tested negative, these people have constant people around them testing them and making sure everything's okay. It really can be very scary when you hear that these people are being exposed. What are we being exposed to when we go to a restaurant or a business and everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing?
So one of the things I'd like to do, Doug, is actually put a little distance between Chris Christie and the president and our governor. Because by and large, Governor Murphy does all of the right things. You see him in public wearing a mask. You see him being an example of social distancing. You see just the opposite. I think one of the things that's been very striking to me about former Governor Christie is he's now come out very loudly and clearly, most recently in the Wall Street Journal, saying, I should have worn a mask. I should be following the CDC guidelines. And so what it really does mean, though, and this is to your larger point, this is a very, very highly infectious pathogen. Because it is a novel virus, and we forget that sometimes in our dialogue, because it's a novel virus, it means none of us have any inherent immunity to this virus. So that essentially, just about everybody who gets exposed to it is going to get it. The other huge problem with COVID, and for the people for whom this is the case, it's not a huge problem, is there's a substantial number of people who are infected with the virus who have little or no symptoms. But those very same people are contagious. And so we could all be in a room together and we all feel fine, but one of us has done something to be in touch with somebody else who has COVID. We then become carriers, if you will, of the virus, and we can give it to others inadvertently. So it means that we all have to be uniformly careful. But what it also means is we all need to get tested. And we all need to get tested on a fairly regular basis. So one of the things I was struck by when Catherine was saying people should consider doing teaching pods, I think that's actually an excellent idea. But we need all of the families involved in those pods to get themselves tested. and to get their children tested before they come together, because there's such a high proportion of people who have COVID with those symptoms and then can spread it to others. And there's a lot of free testing available in Newark, a lot. And the city frequently sponsors it. The county sponsors it. You can go to Walgreens on Broad Street and get free testing. So it isn't that it's not available.
I'd like both of you to answer this question as we wrap up our segment here. Let's look at, can you actually look at a positive out of a disastrous situation? Has the city of Newark come together more than ever before with its residents and either pride that everyone cares about each other or at least are pulling for each other, a sense of real community that maybe didn't exist before? We'll start with you, Dr. Rogers.
It's a little bit of a tough question, to be frank with you. I think there are...
We're isolated to begin with, so how do you get, you know, how do you pull that? But I'm curious what you think about that.
Well, I think there are a pool of people who do have the attitude that you're describing. I think there are a pool of people who absolutely say, this is a hardship. It's going to require all of us coming together, and we're going to need to take care of each other. What caused the pause in me, Doug, to be honest, is there another subset, primarily of younger people, who don't take this seriously, who read in the papers that, you know, I don't need to worry about this, and who become a little cavalier in their behaviors, who don't regularly wear masks, who don't think about the fact that they could get it and give it to their grandmother and their grandmother dies. And so I think it's a mixed bag, unfortunately, and I think we need to do more work to recruit everyone in the city to have the attitude that you just described.
Catherine Wilson is the president and CEO of the United Way of Greater Newark. Your thoughts on coming together?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the vantage point of running, you know, a nonprofit, certainly the nonprofit sector has come together in ways that we have never done before. Our philanthropic partners have come together and funded in ways they have never done before. And I think there is this, in some ways, this can-do attitude of we will get through this. We don't know what it's going to look like on the other side, but that we all do need to work together. And I think the other thing that I've been struck by personally is the camaraderie among our staff. You know, we have regular staff meetings, and I'm sure this happens in other organizations where, you know, we tell each other at the end, make sure you take care of each other. Make sure you wash, and we remind ourselves, make sure you wash your hands. Don't forget to wear your mask this weekend if you're going somewhere. You know, and I think that there is that pulling together now that maybe we had not seen before, because of course, this is something none of us have ever experienced before.
What's been the most difficult conversation you've had with anyone during this time period? Take us into that talk.
I think as the head of United Way, one of the most difficult conversations I've had with either our philanthropic partners or even our board has been, what will the longer term economic impacts of this pandemic be? And I say that because, quite frankly, as Dr. Rogers so nicely laid out for us, economics is one of those social determinants of health. Aside from physical health, I would argue it's probably one of the most important. If you do not have a stable income, a good job, so many areas of your life are impacted by that. And I think one of the most difficult conversations has been what will happen in the long term to our Newark residents who, as I mentioned opening this, before had a 10% unemployment rate. What is it going to be post-pandemic? Is it going to be as high as 15% or 20%? What we're seeing globally, economically, has not been seen since World War II. And I think preparing ourselves for that mentally as well as fiscally is going to be very difficult. There's going to be a lot of social service needs that will remain for the next decade in this city because of the impact of this virus.
You know, sometimes we need to just step back and realize there are beautiful things going on. And so, Dr. Rogers, I know your backdrop there is the tree in your backyard. So I just wanted to say it's a beautiful tree. And there are sometimes we just need to take a look around. We take a nice little walk out there that we forget about our environment when we have things like this, don't we?
Yes. Doug, you're so on point this morning. I'm just in awe of your anticipation of these other important messages, which is people need to go outside. People need to take a walk. It is safe to walk outside. If you're going to be walking outside with other people, wear your mask. But it is important to get out of the confines of your house and see a tree, particularly at this time of year, as the leaves are going to be changing and that sort of thing. Allow yourselves a break. I think the other thing that people need to do is they need to limit the amount of time they spend watching the news, because we are bombarded constantly. Listen to BGO, where mostly you get wonderful, wonderful music interspersed with some news, as opposed to this 24 hours of just hearing numbers and data and arguments constantly. Personally, I, as you know, I'm a big fan of BGO. It's on my radio far more now than the CNN, MSNBC, because I just become overwhelmed and need a way to psychologically heal. And both music and being outdoors and experiencing nature can do that for us and help us to become psychologically more resilient in combating this virus.
Thanks for those comments about the radio station. Recovering from the Economic Impact of COVID-19 is the title of session number 3 coming up this Monday. It'll be October 26th. Building a Culture of Health in Newark Conference. It's the 4th annual, and we've been joined by Dr. Denise Rogers, the chair of the Believe in a Healthy Newark Steering Committee, as well as the vice chancellor for interprofessional programs at Rutgers, and the president and CEO at United Way of Greater Newark, Catherine Wilson. It's been great talking to both of you. Thanks for spending some time with us on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.